Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a subject that I'm sure many of you have heard about and in different ways, and this actually is going to have quite a personal note to it. We're going to be talking with Charles Gourlis and this wonderful book that he wrote about his wife, Florence Greenhorn. And it's titled The Seen But Unheard Garden. And Charles, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much.
Charles, when I got this little book, and again, for my listeners, it is a little book, but I was so intrigued with the fact that a man would take it upon himself to write this charming story about a woman that absolutely had a passion for gardening. And a lot of people would think that that would be a daunting task. Obviously, you loved your wife a great deal. But tell me how this all came together, because your wife is not with us anymore. Give us a little bit of the background of how this was given birth.
Well, Jane had pancreatic cancer, and I didn't want her memory or even the image of herself ever to be lost. So I thought, why don't I put her down in a book where people can read about her and her antics forever? And that was my way of remembering her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's absolutely charming. I like your sense of humor. Now, you're a retired school teacher.
Yes.
You used to teach creative writing. So here is the teacher finally doing some things for himself on a personal level in this very venue. And you make a comment, and this is on the cover of your book, that you learned more about humor from your students than from all of the university courses that you ever took. Give us a little bit of background on that. Why is humor so important in writing?
Well, most kids love to laugh. When they get into the fifth grade, that's the grade that I taught, everything starts getting serious, and then they lose their creative power. So once you get them going on their own little comedy stream, they can write.
Well, you have a little bookmark that came with the book, and you summed up this story in a very quaint way. You said, in this story, the vegetable, fruit, and herb plants tell the flowers, you don't work as hard as us to feed the world. We do it all, and then the ground quakes. And I love what you did with this, because your wife, again, was an avid gardener. But you took this story, and it is about her, and she talked to plants, didn't she?
Yes. She sang to them, too.
She sang to them, too. I'll tell you what, she had a lot in common with Luther Burbank. Did you know anything about Luther Burbank?
Yes, yes. Yes, he was a pioneer a long time ago.
Yes, he was, and his parents thought he was a little weird because he'd talk to plants, but the plants, he said, told him what to do. When it came to making them better, stronger, healthier, he had this tremendous empathy with plants. And he was, in my mind, through the entire book when I was reading The Seen But Unheard Garden. And you bring out so much information about your wife, and I thought, this is so good, because it really would appeal to kids. And in today's world, where we're more open about talking about the intuitive process and listening with attentiveness to whatever is around us, whether it's a chattering little squirrel or it's sometimes the wind in the trees, Florence talked to plants. And a Native American wouldn't have a problem with this. Did she ever let on to very many people what she did, or were you her only confidant?
I was her confidant. In fact, the very first time I took her to this community garden, she was overwhelmed with all of the weeds, and I said, oh, hang on, we'll get this straightened out. And then when the crops came to be harvested, she had all her friends and sisters and relatives lined up for zucchinis and tomatoes. She was in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
How do you beat that?
Well, you can't. Now, let me ask you something, Liz Florence, and I'm going to get a bit nosy here, so I hope you don't mind. Your lady loved the earth and loved plants. When you were dating her, did you have a clue that she had this eccentricity that we would describe as such?
No.
Talking to plants?
No, no. The more I got to know her, the more I could possibly understand it. She was she's as beautiful as she is on the cover, inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very special person, and I didn't realize it at the time, naturally, and to my regret. And she became my best friend, and that's quite a tribute.
When did you first find out that she was talking to plants? Now, you knew she sang to them, but when did this all first come about? How long, also, let me ask you another question. How long were you and Florence married?
30 years.
30 years, how wonderful. So
yes.
When did you find out about this unique pattern she had of singing to plants?
Well, we have winter plants in home. We take the plants I have in the yard, I'll take in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when she didn't know I was watching her, she'd be singing to them, and I got a clue that something was going on.
And yet you never made fun of her about that.
No, why would I? Why would I?
Well, I know a lot of people that would say, you know, you get a little bit of bonkers up in the upstairs in the ring department, but what do you mean you're singing to these plants? I'll tell you what, they've done so much research on this that it is absolutely amazing. In fact, I'm sure you've heard the research where they took plants and one of the I had like three, and one they would just say, I hate you, and the person that was doing the experiment would just pour out as much venom feeling-wise towards the plant. And then another plant, they'd say, I love you, I love you, I love you, or something like this. And another one they just didn't do too much of anything with. The one that was cared for, that was praised and everything else, grew like crazy. The one that was attacked in a venomous way would die. No matter what they fed it or how much they watered it, it didn't make any difference. It just died. And that, to me, was fascinating research. When your wife developed a plant curriculum, I thought, what a neat thing to say, a plant curriculum. She developed it with the local state agricultural college, and it was just amazing. And she used this, she was a teacher also, correct?
Yes, yes, a great teacher.
And what was the age of her students?
Well, she started in the fifth grade and ended up in the first grade. And that's such a pivotal grade, grade one.
Mm-hmm.
And she got kids that never had any idea about anything like gardening or where food came from and just turned them on.
Mm-hmm. Now, she got a concept for communicating with children, the little ones, like this. And she talked about the plant workers, which were breathing organisms, which any of us that have had anything to do with working in a garden, we know how important it is to have a soil that's alive with all of these microorganisms, because they're what give the plant its strength, its stamina, its nutrients, all of these various components. Now, she had a particular plot. This story, even though you wrote it for young people, it's something adults can enjoy tremendously, but it's all about a plot 105. Now, where are you living? In my area of the world, in the Pacific Northwest, usually people have enough of their own property. There aren't what I'd call, I'm not aware of them, city plots that you can go in and have a plot number, but she actually did have a particular plot. Where are you living? Where was it that this was done?
In Woburn, Massachusetts.
Ah, so is this big in the community there?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
When did it start up where they gave people the opportunity to work plots? And
oh,
why?
Probably 25 years ago. And you can rent a plot for $20. And you can plant whatever you want. And you get plenty of help. All farmers are always willing to talk to you.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite enjoyable, believe me.
Now, her plot was number 105.
Right.
Why is it that she got so much attention? Because she was picked up by the media. Her plot 105 was pretty exceptional. And how big was it?
20 by 10.
That's not a bad amount of space.
No, but when you're weeding, it's awfully big.
Well, what caused her plot to get so much attention?
Well, it was her, as you said earlier, it was her personality. She loved them. She sang. She played that classical music. They understood where she was coming from. They understood her.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could all understand each other, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, that would be terrific. Now, when she was doing this, apparently there were some people that were very upset with the successfulness of her plot. Why?
The men. The men were jealous. All the men would give her
ear. Why were the men jealous?
Because she could do things better than they could, and she was different. She was singing to her plants and playing music. And they were just used to the old way of fertilizing and things like that. So I wanted the idea to get across that there are other ways of gardening, and also that most people don't realize that in the soil there are so many microorganisms that really do everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it was the soil was alive. It is alive. And if you saw some of the illustrations of these poor microorganisms in the wintertime freezing, they're the full-timers, whereas the plants are really part-timers. They're only there from May until September.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring that out because I had read that somewhere from one of my gardening things, and I've never realized. I even worked in a truck farm as a young person, and we were never taught that beneath the soil were all these little creatures, if you will, making everything good for plants to survive.
I think you bring up such a significant point there. In our world today, there is more of an awareness that how we treat the earth that we plant our seeds in is so significant. I mean, look at all of the media that we're getting about overuse of pesticides, overuse of fertilizers, creating all kinds of challenges and problems because we have not really had a true understanding of how in some instances a little bit is a lot. Some instances you need more. But respecting the environment, and here she had this 10 by 20 plot, and she did. She really respected this little portion of land that she had been given the opportunity to be the caretaker for. And she was outshining everybody else, and I love in your book where you said she was never asked the reasons for her success. Now, this gets me because here are the guys being so jealous, you said, and nor was her help or her advice ever solicited. So her attitude is, if you don't want to know, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, she you know how men are. You know how we are. That's why there's GPS in cars today.
Well, she got so much attention. I just love the way you present the story. The mayor even came out. You know, people were coming out and just oohing and aahing over her. And the pettiness on the part of the men saying, well, you can't have that plot next year. You're going to have to be put somewhere else. And she said, that's fine. She didn't care.
No.
Because she knew the secret. She knew that wherever they put her, she was going to have a wonderful, wonderful garden. But then in your story, you go in talking about Potsy Potato, you got Cobby, you got Sally Sunflower.
How about the Onion Family?
Oh, the Onion Family, yes, and Sammy Squash. And you have these delightful, delightful illustrations showing Florence kneeling in her garden in her recorder playing her classical music. And it's just so wonderful. And anybody of reading this is going to enjoy it. And she would talk to her flowers saying, you're classy, you're absolutely wonderful. And they just absolutely loved it. But I'll tell you, I really got a kick out of one sentence you had in here. The dill plants are confused with the crab apple smiling. one could say they're in a pickle. The Chinese cabbage plants are seeking asylum, and the navy beans are going AWOL. I mean, this is fun. This is really fun. Now, have you shared this with kids in school?
No. I've been out of school for 10 years. And actually, Donna, it's a book, I think, for everybody. I wrote it with the idea that kids in the fifth grade could understand it, and parents could read it, and grandparents could read it to their grandchildren. There were so many double meanings there that they wouldn't understand some of it, but the older person would understand it and just laugh at it.
Oh, yes. And it's just, again, your illustrations are so much fun. And you've got all of these personalities that have been assigned to even Gus Garlic. I mean, you've got him in here. And Tommy Tomato, Wally Watermelon. You have so many wonderful personalities that are in here. I think you should take this and start going to schools and sharing them. Have you ever thought of doing something like that, being in an environment with kids, even though you've retired, taking this along and just sharing it with people or sharing it with garden clubs?
I thought of it, but you know what I think would be the best use of this? How about an animated cartoon?
Oh, I think that would be fun.
Wouldn't that be the best way to get it out to everybody?
It would be a great way to do it. But, you know, there's something about telling the story and reading the story. And, again, I love these illustrations. Now, you have done such a wonderful job with this powerful little book. When you are talking about Olga, the organism, and the worms that are above ground, and you talk about how important they are, with Florence, when she was finally recognized for what she was doing, and people said, gee whiz, we really want to know how we can do better, because she was getting so much recognition. I mean, she was getting an abundance of food. Everything she was putting into the ground was just terrific. And people were trying to figure all this out. So finally they asked her advice. The response the first time around, they could hardly believe it, right?
Right. You remember when she wrote it on the board and then she decided to walk out? She put down TLC plus zero. All it was tender loving care and no fertilizer and pesticides. And then she decides to walk out of a meeting with all these men and they can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that typical of most of us when we're trying to figure out something? We always miss the most simple solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to make that typical of all of us. And notice that when they closed the meeting and they had time to have drinks, they didn't invite Florence again. Do you notice that?
Yes, and I think that it's so easy to discount what can be so obvious and actually so simple. And I think one of the lessons that comes out of reading this, it's not just applying to plants. It is applying it to everyday life. We don't have to make things extremely complicated. And she didn't do that. She was just very, very straightforward and so simple that it's just like, no, it can't be that easy.
I know it. I have that problem all the time.
Now, in your 30 years of being married to Florence, did you ever tell her that?
No, of course not. I'm a man. You never admit those things.
This is from a guy.
Naturally.
Well, I'm sure she is smiling wherever she is, just absolutely delighted that you have done this. Now, Florence got recognition from the community and from media because of what she was accomplishing. How many years did she keep her garden plot?
Only a few. Then she got sick. Yeah, and we spent 2.5 years trying to correct that, and it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wanted something, as I said earlier, for people, if they read, that is how really she was. She was that kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have time to be vindictive or anything like that. She was, she'd do the best she could. She would give you the shirt off her back, and she just moved on. So how do you, I can't let that go. I mean, there are so many people, Donna, that in our lives that are like Florence. They do so much for us. They did so much for us. And we've almost forgotten them. And I didn't want Jane to be forgotten or Florence to be forgotten.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think that's going to happen because your story is so charming. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that I'm not going to be mentioning because I would not want to take away the pleasure that a reader could have in making the discovery about these wonderful characters that you've invented and that you brought to life about Florence's garden. But I also want to bring up the fact that there was a spokesperson that was appointed for the garden. And I absolutely had to chuckle. I mean, there were so many fun statements you made. You said, the good professor, new outfit and all, has appointed himself spokesperson for the garden. Whenever the plants see or hear him, they give him a thumbs down.
Isn't that cute?
Yes. I thought, how in the world would anybody know that unless they absolutely drooped right in front of him? There's this question I have. Since she's been gone, and has there been anyone else that's picked up her patternings with the gardening?
No. I don't do vegetables anymore. I just have flowers in the yard. So, no, really. No, I'm just trying to get this book out there, so to speak. But, you know, the idea of going to schools, that's a great idea. I'm going to have to think about that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just keep a thought in your mind that when you're out and you're interacting with kids and you're sharing this book and you're reading to them, you're giving them something that is a seed in their mind that makes them look perhaps at gardening or farming, because we really, in this part of the world, need to have more appreciation for the value of agriculture. I was discussing this just yesterday. Even though Florence just had this little plot, and that's what this little book is about, but when you take it into a picture of what our forefathers did, they had to be able to garden and grow enough food to feed themselves during a winter, and most of us today haven't a clue of how to do that. I was on a bus going to an event with some people yesterday, and there were gobs of us doing the same thing, and en route on this ride, we were talking about this very fact. We were talking about how our grandparents had to live on farms, had to grow their own food, and that if you didn't understand nature, if you didn't understand the environment you were growing things in, you'd starve to death. And this with your wife and what she did and what she was able to demonstrate in her life by just doing is incredibly wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And I'm like your wife. I like to talk to plants, too. And I know for a fact that they respond. They really do. And I know there's some of you that may be sitting and listening to this and say, Donna, you're really a nutcase. I'm telling you, it works. It works with animals. Life is life. And when it's cared for and it's appreciated and it's loved, it really does make a difference. I don't care what that life form might be, and it's not being Pollyannish. So your book, if it were shared with young people, they might get interested in horticulture or agriculture or all kinds of components. And then I think also of people who are in the gardening environment that would just love something like this. Your book is just absolutely charming. Now, do you have a website, Charles?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and what is that website?
The website for the book is Trafford, T-R-A-F-F-O-R-D.
Okay, just Trafford.com?
Trafford.com.
Okay.
/07.
Okay.
1359. And this book is also available on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than $20, Donna. So So it's not mm-hmm. it's a because it's 55 pages. I kept it short because of that reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, this is a book that is fun. It would be fun as a family to read it out loud, to be able to share it with friends. If you're looking at something, I know the holidays, I hate to start bringing it up, but you know, they are going to be coming up sooner than we expect. And if you have a friend that loves gardening or has expressed an interest in it, or maybe even as a cute gift for someone that says that they don't have a green thumb, that everything they touch just dies, this would be an absolutely charming gift to give to them. So Charles Gourlis, G-O-U-R-L-I-S, is the spelling of his last name. The website is trafford.com/071359. So I would really encourage you to consider adding it to your library. And for kids, oh, it is absolutely marvelous. And you also were written up in a Times Chronicle, and it's an absolutely charming, charming publication. It had much more substance to it, I'll tell you, because it was so little. I thought, gee whiz, there's not going to be too much we could discuss about it, and holy Moses, it's just loaded with all kinds of wonderful story, wonderful information, and it is the truth. Now, Charles, are there any thoughts that you'd like to leave my audience with before we say goodbye?
Well, I hope they'll appreciate how kind you are. You've been very, very good to me tonight, and if they don't understand that, then they're missing something, and they're missing something if they don't buy the book, too.
I agree with that, Charles. Thank you so much for your
Thank
wonderful
you, Donna.
Compliment. It's been a pleasure having you as a guest. Donna Sebo here. My guest today has been Charles Gourlis. This book, The Seen But Unheard Garden, is all about his wife, who had the wonderful talent of making the impossible happen with plants and flowers. It's a delightful read. The Seen But Unheard Garden, go to the website trafford.com/071359. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you would like to call in and chat with me, this is the worldwide toll-free telephone number. of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, during the next half hour, I've got a wonderful recipe for chicken quesadillas. I know we've got a caller. I've got a bunch of other things that I want to share with you. So if you call in, great. If you're a first-time caller, remember, all I need for you, from you is your first name or your initial. Then let me tell you what I perceive, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Without further ado, let's go to our first caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi, dear. You're on the air. First name or initial?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat in New Haven, Connecticut.
Hi, Pat.
How are you?
Are the leaves changing where you are in New Haven?
Overnight, and it's way too sunny.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, here in the Pacific Northwest, in August, the leaves were already starting to drop from the trees. So we have
goodness.
And the trees were turning color. And then by September, and here we are almost at the end of the month, and the leaves are just falling like you would not believe. They
Is
are
that
just
normal?
Coming off. No, it's sort of, it's not that abnormal, but we've had such a wet summer that
yes.
It really has been interesting, but I'm looking at it. It feels like fall. It's smelled like fall since August, actually. So it's sort
wow.
of come in a little bit earlier this year, but you said it changed overnight where you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've begun to change colors.
Oh, and it's so gorgeous back in Connecticut. For those of you
mm-hmm.
listening, if ever you have a chance to be back on the East Coast during this time of the year, the latter part of September through October, oh, it is breathtakingly gorgeous. And I love
it
the
is.
Blue Ridge Mountains during the fall.
Absolutely.
Make sure you have,
Me too.
Oh, yes. It's just incredibly beautiful. Well, let's get down to business with you, Pat. First thing that I'm looking at with you is trust your gut. Trust your intuition. You are perceiving real things, real information about people and conditions, and it's unsettling to you because you don't feel like certain individuals are being honest. Realize that your perceptions are meant to empower you. You need to listen to them. It may be a while before these persons actually demonstrate what you perceive, but I'd like for you to write down what your perceptions are and sort of develop the sense of detachment. So you're aware, but you don't let your perceptions cloud the clarity that you need to have making decisions as to whether or not you're going to continue an association with them. You're in such a cycle of change that it's important for you to be patient with yourself. And I know we all seem to have a 30-second mentality expectation that has been for generations now. You know, it's like, gee whiz, it's supposed to have, everything's supposed to happen right away. Sometimes things don't happen that quickly. Sometimes they will. And if it doesn't happen as rapidly as you like, work with the flow of what things are doing and how they're doing. And if you can't have control over something, back away, get involved in something else so that you don't become overly stressed and then go back into what needs to be taken care of. And I think you're going to find a rhythm in your life that is going to develop, that is going to serve you very, very well. You're learning this about yourself, and you're learning how to identify this natural rhythm. This is marvelous. Most people never get close to identifying this. So you're getting there. So be patient with yourself. What would you like to ask me today?
That's interesting. This applies to my question. Actually, I'd like to ask you about two people. One is I'm really spooked and feel really creepy. I have a feeling that a woman I work for is kind of conniving to get me to stop working for her. I've worked for her for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is her own issue, but she's not being honest with me.
Well,
and do
why?
You, do you?
Okay. You've worked for her for how many years?
Probably six or more. And
all right.
Really all I want to know is if this is her plan so I can go ahead and start taking care of myself.
Well, I would start taking care of myself anyway. with or without her saying anything. Let's put things in their proper place. Your feelings are correct, but you don't have all the facts. So you just need to be okay with the awareness that she may want you to perhaps look for other employment or do some other work, but that's her responsibility to make the choice, not yours. So
right.
I would say just in your mind, bless her and just realize that you're aware subliminally that there are changes going on with her that could also be affected by her economic positioning and some things that she's having to deal with on a personal level. And when people are going through challenges, they're not likely to discuss them with the employees. So even though you've been with her for 6 years, if you can, detach from what you would call the personal aspect. Trust your feelings and start looking towards what you need to do for yourself if that should not be the case. You're also reading into it more of your own emotional concerns and practical concerns, and I can't blame you for that. That's a very normal reaction. But she has a responsibility to following through with certain things. You need to do your duty for yourself. Do you understand what I'm trying to convey to you?
Well, is my part looking for other work now?
Yes, I'd say that's a very good thing to do. You don't need to mention that to her, but go ahead and start looking for another positioning.
Okay. Donna, I've only been working for her because the economy, it just worked out that I have not had other work. Do you see me getting anything now?
Oh, I think you can, but don't come from a positioning of fear. You are working for someone right now at this time that you can feel the change coming. It's wonderful for you. Then go ahead and start preparing your resume and looking at what you can offer to other people. And they're not going to call her. You can see I'm currently employed and I'm looking for some new opportunity.
Okay.
And keep yourself open.
Okay.
Dress attractively when you go for the interviews and look at what you'd like to do. Let's say you wanted to become involved in an area of industry like healthcare or something like this. And you said, yeah, I've always wanted to do that. So then just go and present your resume and say, I'm open to learning new things and just see what happens.
Okay. All right.
I think you're going to find that there will be a door that will open for you. But
Thank you. Don't go
from a point of being apprehensive. Just say, this is what I need to do. And I understand about the economy, but I'll tell you what. Having a good employee is very important, and a lot of people are discovering that they need to have the support staff with their businesses so that they can take care of what needs to be taken care of.
Right.
So emphasize your strength and what you're able to bring to any enterprise you become a part of.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's always a pleasure and extremely helpful to speak with you.
Wonderful. I'm glad, Pat. Good luck
Thanks
to you.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me as well, the worldwide toll-free number is 888-815-9756. I know we've got a caller on the line, but quickly, before I go to that caller, I want to share a wonderful poem, a very short one, by Callie Halbrook. And this is how it reads. It's the most gorgeous picture of a grouping of trees. This has to be back in Connecticut or somewhere on the East Coast, and they're changing color. And there's just these rows of these trees. They form this magnificent canopy. And this is what she wrote. The leaves begin to fall. The temperatures drop. The days end earlier, but really it's all just a new beginning, the time of year to start over. Callie, you did a wonderful job, and I love the picture that goes along with it. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Arizona. This is Dina.
Hi, Dina. Where are you in Arizona?
In the Phoenix area.
Okay. Now, Dina, what I'm looking at with you is challenges that are coming up. You have to speak your mind. Now, normally when those words are expressed, we feel like it might be an antagonistic environment, but that's not the case. what I am looking at appears to be a group meeting that you and other individuals have come together for the purpose of a particular goal, and you're wanting to accomplish it in the most efficient, effective manner, money-wise and otherwise, that possibly can be, because everyone involved in this decision-making are very, very busy, including yourself. So I am seeing you being aware of the conversations, and there's a part of you, and this is from training that you had as a young person, but part of you is saying, I've got to say this because nobody's paying attention to a particular detail, and it's going to end up costing quite a bit more money than anticipated. And I want to say, bring it up. Have your pad of paper, make your notes, and then maybe highlight something, if you've got a highlighter, where when everybody goes on break, you can go through your notes and say, these are the points that I think need to be put into the minutes or into the notes, and these are costs that have to be considered that nobody is paying attention to, and if it comes up at the last minute and adds XYZ dollars to the bottom line, people are not going to be very happy because the expense is going to be more than anticipated. So it needs to be included in the package. This is something you're learning to do. You are learning to speak up more and more as time goes on, and you're learning how to be very much to the point, very clear, and not emotionally attached to your statements, which is a big step. That's a wonderful accomplishment. So you're going to find yourself really making a tremendous difference. And there will even be people that will come up to you and say, my goodness, I'm so glad you brought this up. We never even considered it. So learning to speak out with clarity, speaking up, speaking out with clarity without a bunch of extra fluff of words or apologies of any kind, just stating, this is something I'm aware of. I really think you should be attentive to this because this will add to your bottom line if you're not. It's going to make a tremendous difference, and I'm seeing people listening with open ears. And you may have someone that contradicts you, and you're going to say, well, I would welcome you to talk to some other people about this, and if you've not had the experience, it may not be easy to see, but I do think that it's something that should be made a note of and considered so that you have everything lined up. And I think that this is going to create a lot of respect for people that are going to want to work with you on some other projects. Do you have a question for me?
Do you see employment, Sam, for me?
Well, now, is this self-employment or is it employment with a company that you want to be with?
Both.
Well, you're going to have to figure out how you want to address it, because if you want to have, let's say, and let me just make this scenario, a part-time job where you were working maybe, let's just say, 4 hours a day for a company, then that is something you're going to have to shop around for. Because if you want to do that plus doing your own private business, you're going to have to look at how you want to manage your time. Because otherwise you may end up being so stressed out that it's not going to be fun for you. Now maybe you'd like to work 4 days a week and have 3 days off, or maybe work 3 days a week and have 4 days off. But you need to figure out your plan and not just wing it. Because I am seeing some prospective employers that would be interested in having you on a part-time basis. But you need to look at how you want to negotiate that.
Okay.
So you really need to think about how you want to work it. What is optimum for you? You have to work at what is optimum and then come backwards with it to see how you want to manage it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Dina. Have a great day. We're taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to call in and chat, 888. This is a worldwide toll-free number, 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm going to share, I didn't mean to do that in your ear. I'm going to be sharing a recipe for you for quesadillas. Do you know, I love quesadillas. And I find so frequently that when I go to restaurants, if I order a quesadilla, sometimes they come out and they are so horribly greasy. And I like it when the tortillas are nice and crisp and you have your stuff on the inside. Well, there's this recipe by Curtis Stone that I thought is really good. It's so simple, and you can adapt it in any way that you want. But I'd recommend if you have, let's say, an indoor grill, I don't know where you are. If you're in sunshiny environments like California or Florida or Arizona or New Mexico, the sun's still shining, so you'd still use a grill outside, which is a great thing to do. But I think quesadillas are a great way to use leftovers. And I don't know about your family, but I think anything that can be a nice finger food that you can have accompaniments like sour cream and guacamole to go with it and beans and all kinds of stuff, it's really great. But I really like them not to be greasy. So this is a recipe that I thought was just so easy. And you can, well, let me just give it to you. And then I'll share with you some Donna tips. Now, this is by Curtis Stone, and he said he likes to use these for leftovers, too. And what you need are 4 10-inch flour tortillas, and you do know that tortillas have all kinds of flavoring. And you can get the big tortillas that are low-fat. You've got the fiber tortillas. I mean, it's amazing what's out there in the marketplace anymore for tortillas. But you need 4 of the 10-inch ones, and you're going to need 2 cups of coarsely shredded, he likes roasted chicken, I'd say beef, pork, you know, fish, whatever you like can go into this. And then you're going to need 2 cups of grated Monterey Jack. Now, that is Curtis's favorite. I like to mix. I like extra sharp cheddar cheese. Sometimes I like the jalapeno, you know, the Mexican cheese. And sometimes you can use a softer cheese. Don't be afraid to experiment. This is a marvelous thing to do. And then using freshly cut fresh cilantro. You need about 1/2 cup of that. The fresh gives a flavor that's just wonderful. And then a jalapeno. Now, maybe you don't like jalapenos, but if you like, you can get canned jalapenos. If you're lazy like me and you just don't want to be bothered cutting these silly things, because you have to remember, when you're cutting fresh jalapenos, you must make sure that you wash your hands afterwards, and by for heaven's sake, don't put your eyes anywhere close to your eyes or touch them to your lips, because the oils, the capsaicin that's inside the pepper will literally burn your skin. And if you've got tiny cuts on your fingers, if you've been busy chopping stuff, believe me, once you have the experience, you will never forget it. A little bit of salt. Now, he likes to use barbecue sauce. And I like to use sometimes a salsa. I like to use different things, but I've also used my favorite barbecue sauce to put on the inside for flavoring. But I also like it to have it for dipping on the outside. So this is what you do. You want to preheat your oven to 250 degrees, And you want to take your tortillas and you want to put them all out on the working surface where you're going to be arranging everything. And you want to divide the ingredients, your cheese, your meat, your cilantro, your jalapeno. And if you want to use canned jalapenos, just make sure you drain them well because they do have extra moisture. You can get them already chopped. So just drain them well if you want to do that. That's the lazy person's way of doing it, which is what I'm guilty of doing. You just take your ingredients and divide them among those four tortillas, and then you drizzle your barbecue sauce, or if you have some salsa, whatever you want to do, maybe you want to put some jalapeno sauces, that maybe you've got a favorite, whatever is your favorite flavoring, you just drizzle it over. And then you fold the tortillas in half because it is then going to look like a half moon, and then you heat a flat griddle pan over medium heat, and you cook it for 3 minutes on each side, and I recommend using two spatulas so that you, when you flip them, you can do it very easily, very gently. So you don't add any fat. Your skillet or your griddle is without fat. And you cook it for about 3 minutes on each side, and the tortillas are going to get nice and crisp, and the cheese will be melting on the inside. And you want to put them in on a baking sheet and keep it warm in the oven until you get them all done. So you're going to have four, and then you cut them into wedges. This is a great way to serve a dinner to kids. And if you have something on the side as a compliment that they can dip into, it's terrific. And maybe the kids like pickle relish in their quesadilla. Who cares? If you're getting good nutrition in them, and maybe they can even assemble their own. Say, pick your own stuff, and I'll fix it for you, and we'll be ready to go. Quesadillas are just a wonderful blessing. It doesn't take long, and as far as I'm concerned, it's better than a grilled cheese sandwich, and I don't have anything against grilled cheese sandwiches, but you can fix these so that they're nice, they're flavorful, your imagination, use it. The kids will have a blast with it. Donna Sebo here. I know that we're just about out of time, but what I wanted to do quickly was to let you know about my guests for this week. Tomorrow, we've got an incredible story. Now, Barb Rogers is a very recognized author, and this woman has put together some fabulous publications, but this one was amazing to me. I had no idea Barbara had a problem, had had a problem with alcoholism. Her book is titled If I Die Before I Wake. Her story is just incredible, and you've got to tune in to listen to it. And then on Wednesday, I got my days mixed up here. We're going to be talking about rescue dogs, and oh, they are so special. We have two Scotties that we got from a rescue organization. These stories will touch your heart. Diane Pomerantz is going to be with us, and then we're going to be talking about ghosts. Yes, Weiser's Field Guide to Ghosts, Raymond Buckland, who has such a tremendous background in the paranormal, so we're going to be talking with him. And then we are going to be having on Friday How to Make More Good Stuff Happen, Deb Ivanoff. And what makes this interview so special is that her daughter is going to be with us. We are going to be talking with her and her daughter, who helped her put this publication together. And it's just wonderful, a mother-daughter combination that is just an absolute joy. So that's what we've got coming up this week. Dogs, yes, we're going to be talking about all kinds of things, so I invite you to join me. And also, don't forget, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so pleased you were able to join me today, and I know that you're going to have a fabulous afternoon or evening wherever you might be. Just take time, be grateful for who you are, be grateful for your blessings, because believe me, you are truly a very fortunate person. And you know what? I'm pretty fortunate to have the opportunity to interact with you. Thank you. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.